Welcome to the Golden Age of Comic Books. It is September 7th, 2005. Welcome everybody to the Golden Age of Comic Books. This is Bill Jourdain, your host. We are very glad you're here. We've got a good show today. We're going to talk about Superman on the radio in the 1940s and early 1950s. We're going to talk about Star Spangled Comics from DC Comics as it existed between 1941 and 1952, when that book underwent a change to a different format. But before we start our discussion today of Golden Age of Comics, let's talk a little bit more about Hurricane Katrina. As I mentioned in the last podcast, I hope everyone has been supporting the efforts to provide assistance to the victims of Hurricane Katrina. When I did the last podcast a little over a week ago, I don't think any of us realized the extent of the tragedy that was going to unfold in the Gulf Coast states of the United States. So I would encourage, again, everyone to contribute to the American Red Cross, to support the efforts to assist the victims of Hurricane Katrina. I think it's pretty clear from looking at all the news reports that have come out of that area that it's going to require a Herculean effort to assist all of the victims of this terrible, terrible tragedy that occurred over a week ago. So, again, please visit the American Red Cross website at redcross.org to learn more about how to provide meaningful assistance to the victims of the Hurricane Katrina tragedy. Certainly, the assistance is greatly needed, and all of the victims and their families would greatly appreciate any assistance that anyone listening to the Golden Age of Comics podcast could provide. So again, please visit the American Red Cross website at redcross.org and learn more about how to assist those victims in the Gulf Coast states. All right, let's focus on the Golden Age of comic books for a little while. A number of podcasts ago, I mentioned a book that I found when I was at the Barnes & Noble, and it's called The Golden Age of DC Comics, 365 Days, published by Les Daniels, Chip Kidd, and Jeff Spear. This book was actually published by Abrams Books, and it's pretty interesting. As I mentioned before, it contains a daily little blurb about a particular DC Comics character or a DC Comics event, and I don't get to look at it every day, but some days I pull it out just to see what the blurb of the day is, and I pulled it out for today, September 7th, and took a look at it, and it talks about Superman on the radio in the 1940s and the early 1950s. And I thought I'd talk about that a little bit today. Back several years ago, I was able to purchase on eBay a number of the audio cassettes and then CDs, which rebroadcast the Superman radio show that started in 1940 and continued until 1951. And the shows are really interesting. They provide certainly a different angle on Superman and all of the Superman characters that were developed in the radio show. Really neat to listen to, particularly with all of the commercials of the day that were included in those audio broadcasts. Now, the Superman radio show was also interesting because it contained a number of items that were not original to the comic book. They actually came up with a number of unique ideas in the Superman radio shows that later became very important to the Superman character in the comic book. And just a couple of those that they do mention in the book that I was talking about, The Golden Age of DC Superheroes, 365 Days. One of those was the creation of kryptonite. Of course, kryptonite is the one element that Superman will succumb to if he is exposed to it. It's deadly to him. And the notion of kryptonite did not come from the Superman or Action comic stories of that character, but was actually introduced in the Superman radio show that began in 1940. Also, Jimmy Olsen, the office boy who became just a huge supporting character of Superman throughout the years. In fact, he even had his own title later on in the Silver Age of comics, Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. And his name and the idea of his development first appeared in the radio shows. So a lot of interesting items were included in the Superman radio shows that were original to that were later on carried over into the comic book. Now, Superman on the radio continued, as I said, for many years until 1951, and of course, shortly thereafter, the very popular Superman television show appeared. But the radio shows were also interesting in that they also included, in a number of episodes, Batman and Robin. Batman and Robin were introduced in the Superman radio show as supporting characters, and they also carried on some of their adventures of their own during their appearance on the Superman radio show. As far as I know, Batman and Robin did not have their own radio show in the 1950s, but they were regular guest stars on the Superman show. And I've listened to a number of the Batman episodes from the Superman radio shows. In fact, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I went to a Borders and picked up CDs of the Batman appearances in the Superman shows. And it was interesting because it was very, very different than what we knew about Batman from the comic book. Batman and Robin lived in Metropolis, where Superman lived. They did not live in Wayne Manor out in the country. They lived in the city in an apartment. And there were other differences as well. So if you're interested in learning maybe an alternative origin and an alternative history of the Batman and Robin characters, go out and look for the radio shows that feature Batman and Robin, the Superman radio shows, and I know you'll be interested in hearing those. They are still available. I've seen them available at Borders, at Amazon.com, and I know you can pick them up also on eBay. Now, my discussion of the Superman and Batman and Robin radio shows would not be complete without a more or less a personal reference. My son Will and I, years ago, were traveling down to Florida. We had a lot of hours in the car, and we sat and listened as we drove to a lot of those old Superman shows and a lot of the old Batman and Robin shows with Superman. And one thing that we learned about was the sponsor of the show, and that was a cereal called Pep that was put out by Kellogg's during the time that this radio show appeared. Pep is still not available. Kellogg's doesn't make it anymore, but I'll tell you what, we heard more commercials for Pep cereal than you'd ever possibly imagine. So if my son's listening, I simply had to throw in a reference to Pep cereal just to bring back the memory of our long drive to Florida where we learned about Superman, Batman and Robin, and Kellogg's Pep. And let me say, for those of you who may be interested in finding those old Superman radio shows on CD or audio cassette, there's some that I would consider to be must-hears. Certainly the Batman and Robin episodes that were packaged separately are very, very neat, and I think you would enjoy them immensely. Also, the series of Superman radio shows that featured Superman's battle against the Atom Man was considered one of the classic all-time Superman radio shows, and I listened to that, and I was just really thrilled by it. It was great old radio, very exciting, and something that's certainly worthwhile to the fans of the Golden Age of comics who want to hear about Superman and how he was portrayed on the radio back during the 1940s when he was not really that old. Those radio shows started up when Superman had only been around for about a couple of years. He first appeared in 1938 in the summer, and these radio shows began in 1940. So, again, a very early glimpse of Superman as he was still going through his developmental stages in the comic book. So once again, check out the Superman radio adventures, and I know you won't be disappointed. Now, in addition to looking for those radio episodes at Amazon.com or Borders, you can go to a website, radiospirits.com, and you'll find a lot of these collections for sale at that website. Again, that's radiospirits.com. In fact, I believe they may be one of the companies that actually publish these rebroadcast on CD and cassette tape. So if you're just dying to get a hold of some of these, check out radiospirits.com, and you'll find, I know, the Atom Man episodes there and the collected Batman and Robin and Superman episodes there as well. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Batman first appeared with Superman on the radio in 1945, which, of course, would be one of the earliest appearances of those two characters together, certainly before the first major team-up of the characters in Superman number 76, and long before the regular team-ups began in World's Finest Comics number 71. So, again, if you're interested in the two characters together on the radio, check out those audio collections. Well, the main focus of our show today is DC's Star Spangled Comics. Star Spangled is another DC title that was published starting in the 1940s by DC and continued on really into the modern age of comics, but with different titles. Star-Spangled Comics began with the first issue in October of 1941 and continued until issue number 130, that was in July of 1952. Then the title changed, and it became Star-Spangled War Stories. That was with issue number 131, that was in August of 1952, just a month later. And that continued until issue number 204, in February of 1977. The title then changed again to The Unknown Soldier with number 205, and that continued until issue number 268 in October of 1982, when the series ended. Star-Spangled Comics, by, of course, its title, was a patriotic title and was one of the many titles created during the war years to support and promote the war effort. Now, the main character that first appeared in Star-Spangled Comics was the Star-Spangled Kid, the namesake of the comic, and his sidekick, Stripesy. Now, Star-Spangled Comics number one wasn't the Star-Spangled Kid and Stripesy's first appearance. They actually first appeared in Action Comics number 40 in September of 1941. And then the very next month, Star-Spangled Comics number one appeared on the newsstands with the October of 1941 issue. Now, although the Star-Spangled Kid and Stripesy first appeared in Action Comics number 40 and then moved over to Star-Spangled Comics, their origin wasn't told until several issues later in Star-Spangled Comics with issue number 18. And then they continued on being the main characters in that comic for quite some time. Now, the Star-Spangled Kid and Stripesy were sort of sidekicks in reverse, if you will. The main character was the Star-Spangled Kid, and just like his name said, he was a kid, a young adult who put on a superhero costume to fight crime. And his sidekick, Stripesy, was an adult. Now, the Star-Spangled Kid was a wealthy young man, and Stripesy was his driver, his chauffeur, and the two of them together, unbeknownst to the Star-Spangled Kid's father, would run around and fight crime in their guise as the Star-Spangled Kid and Stripesy, wearing their very patriotic red, white, and blue uniforms. Now, the Star-Spangled Kid and Stripesy didn't only appear in the pages of Star-Spangled Comics. As I mentioned in a previous podcast, they were also members of the superhero team, the Seven Soldiers of Victory, and they appeared with that team in the pages of Leading Comics. Now, I don't believe that there have been reprints, at least in an archive edition, of the Star-Spangled Kid and Stripesy's early adventures in the pages of Star-Spangled Comics, but again, as I mentioned in a previous podcast, their stories that appeared in Leading Comics with the Seven Soldiers of Victory have been reprinted in the Seven Soldiers of Victory archives. Now, even though the Star-Spangled Kid and Stripesy were the main characters at that time of Star-Spangled Comics, with issue number 7, a couple of other important characters were introduced into the DC Universe in the Golden Age. One was The Guardian by Simon and Kirby. We've talked a lot about Simon and Kirby in the past with their creation of Captain America and Bucky. We talked about them in our last podcast where they took over their role as the creators of the new and improved Sandman and Sandy, his sidekick. We have also talked about their roles in creating other characters in the Golden Age of Comics, the Manhunter that we mentioned in our last podcast. Of course, they were also instrumental in creating the Boy Commandos that appeared in the pages of Detective Comics. So when they came over from Marvel Timely, they jumped in with both feet, and the creation of the Guardian was one of their many efforts. Also in issue number 7, again, this issue appeared in April of 1942, Robot Man by Paul Cassidy was introduced, and Robot Man was a main character in DC Comics over the years and appeared in many of their titles as a backup story feature. Now, Simon and Kirby's creation of the Guardian for Star-Spangled Comics wouldn't be complete without a sidekick, and of course, many of the heroes of the time had sidekicks. Now, the Guardian had even better than that. He had a bunch of sidekicks, and they were called the Newsboy Legion. And the Newsboy Legion teamed up with the Guardian to fight crime in the pages of Star-Spangled Comics. And not only did they appear for the first time in issue number 7, but they took over the cover of Star Spangled Comics with issue number 7. And they appeared regularly on the cover of Star Spangled Comics, starting with that first issue that they appeared in, number 7, all the way through issue number 64. And then with issue number 65, a major change took place in the pages of Star Spangled Comics. Now, we've talked many times about the success of the DC formula and the Marvel formula of having sidekicks with their main superheroes. And certainly Batman and Robin were the first, and many followed, and that formula worked well, and DC and Marvel made a lot of money selling these comic books that had their sidekicks along with their main heroes. Well, DC decided with issue number 65 of Star Spangled Comics to try something a little different. And what they did was they gave one of the sidekicks his very own comic book in which to appear as the title character and the cover character in the stories in that particular book. And so, with issue number 65 of Star Spangled Comics, the very first sidekick became the very first sidekick to appear in solo stories in his own magazine. And that, of course, was Robin the Boy Wonder. And starting with issue number 65 of Star Spangled Comics in February of 1947, Robin the Boy Wonder began making cover appearances in that title as the main character in Star Spangled Comics. And if you look at the Gerber Photo Journal, or if you take a look at the Grand Comic Book Database Project at comics.org, you'll find images of all of the Robin cover appearances for Star Spangled Comics. Now, Robin appeared regularly in the pages of Star Spangled Comics all the way through issue number 130 after having his first appearance in issue number 65. And in a number of the stories in which Robin appeared, Batman would make cameo appearances along with Alfred the Butler. But there were several issues of Star Spangled Comics in which Batman and Robin appeared as a team, as they did regularly in the pages of Batman Comics, Detective Comics, and World's Finest Comics. And those issues, which are somewhat rare and very hard to find, are issues 88, which is the January 1949 issue, through number 94, and then also issue number 112. And these are stories in which Batman and Robin appear as they would normally appear in stories with both of those characters. But all of the other stories, unless it was a cameo appearance by Batman, Robin was the solo character who was fighting crime on his own in very creative and adventurous ways. So if you're interested in reading some of the Robin solo stories that appeared in the pages of Star Spangled Comics, check them out. Now, as I said, they're very rare and they're very hard to find. Just go on eBay from time to time and look for some of the Robin issues starting with number 65, and I will tell you that there are just not a lot of them out there. Fortunately, just this past week, DC decided that they would reprint some of the issues in which Robin appeared of Star Spangled Comics. Now, they didn't reprint anything but the Robin stories, but the title of the DC Archives is the Robin Archives. And this particular archive edition reprints all of the Robin stories in order, starting with number 65 through number 85. So you're not going to find the Batman and Robin stories reprinted in this book, but you will find the 20 issues that appeared number 65 through 85 and all the Robin stories only. So if you're interested in reading these Robin solo stories that appeared starting in 1947 in the pages of Star Spangled Comics number 65 through number 85, go pick up a copy of the Robin DC Comics Archive that appeared last week. Hopefully they'll publish a second volume of this particular title that would include the Batman and Robin stories, and I'm sure it would be really interesting to read. I don't think that these stories have been reprinted before. Some of them may have. I'm pretty sure that I've seen a couple of the Robin solo stories reprinted over the years, but I don't believe any of them have been reprinted like this in order. So certainly a very great opportunity to read some rare comics that are difficult to find out there in the marketplace. Now, as I mentioned, Robin made regular cover appearances on the pages of Star Spangled Comics from issue 65 through through issue number 95. But in issue number 69, a character was introduced that would ultimately knock Robin off the cover of Star Spangled Comics. And that character was Tomahawk, created by Fred Ray. Tomahawk was a frontiersman who was more or less a detective in the frontier, and this time frame was probably during Revolutionary War days. But Tomahawk was a great adventure strip written and drawn by Fred Ray. And starting with issue number 96, as I mentioned, Tomahawk knocked Robin off the cover of Star Spangled Comics and began making regular cover appearances through issue number 121. And I'd encourage you, if you're interested in looking at some really fine Golden Age artwork, check out the covers that feature Tomahawk. Fred Ray did a wonderful job depicting some just great adventure covers with Tomahawk in these issues, and it's worth looking at. Again, they're available in the Gerber Photo Journal and on the Grand Comic Book Database website at comics.org. So Tomahawk was really a neat adventure character and continued on through the end of the run of Star Spangled Comics with issue number 130, and as I mentioned, made regular cover appearances through issue number 121. And then, with issue number 122, in November of 1951, another character was introduced and made his origin appearance in the pages of Star Spangled Comics, and that was Dr. 13, the Ghostbreaker. Now, this wasn't Bill Murray or Dan Aykroyd, the Ghostbusters. This was Dr. 13, the Ghostbreaker. And this character had a kind of a neat number of stories. He would go to places where there were apparently supernatural forces at play. People couldn't explain what was going on other than to say, well, it must be ghost, or it must be witchcraft, or it must be some supernatural force at play. And using his knowledge of science and his disbelief that the supernatural could be involved at all, he would show that these events that had occurred were not, in fact, due to any supernatural being or witchcraft or something like that, and he would prove that there was a scientific explanation involved. And normally, he used detective skills as well to show that there was some criminal or fraud behind what most people believe was some sort of supernatural event that was occurring. So those were very creative and very interesting stories, and they appeared regularly and on the cover of Star Spangled Comics, starting with issue number 122 until the end of that run with issue number 130. So if you find copies of Star Spangled Comics issues 122 through 130, you will find Ghostbreaker covers on those particular issues. Now, Robin and Tomahawk continued to appear in those issues through number 130, but the Ghostbreaker knocked them off the cover, as the Tomahawk had done with Robin. So Star Spangled Comics was a very interesting Golden Age book put out by DC Comics. It contained all manner of interesting stories, starting way back in 1941 with the Star Spangled Kid and Stripesy, moving through the 40s with the Newsboy Legion and the Guardian, then with the first sidekick getting his solo appearance in a comic book, Robin the Boy Wonder, with issue number 65, and then the wonderful Fred Ray Tomahawk covers, starting with number 96, where Tomahawk had first appeared in number 69, and then concluding with the stories of the supernatural that were busted up by the Ghostbreaker, Dr. 13, from issues 122 through the end of the run in 130. I know that there are copies of Star Spangled Comics available. I've seen them at comic book shows. I saw a number of them available at the San Diego Comic Con, certainly on eBay. So if you're interested in some very interesting stories throughout the Golden Age of Comics put out by DC in the pages of this title, get a couple of the issues and check them out, and I imagine that you will be very happy that you did. Well, that's our show for this week. Sorry I was a couple of days late getting it out. I've had some time where I've spent moving my equipment around in the room that I record the podcast in, and that took a little bit of time to do. And of course, there was a holiday here in the U.S. on Monday this week, and that put me back a little bit. So hopefully we'll be back on schedule next week with the Golden Age of Comic Books. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, please don't forget to support the efforts to help the victims of Hurricane Katrina. Please visit the Red Cross website at redcross.org and learn there how to provide support to the victims of this terrible, terrible tragedy. As I always mention, please visit the Grand Comic Book Database Project website at comics.org, a wonderful and worthwhile project designed to catalog the history of comic books, and in particular, the Golden Age of comics. Also support the Actor Comic Fund at actorcomicfund.org, an organization that was created to assist those individuals who have brought us the wonderful stories and the wonderful artwork over the years and the comic books that we enjoy so much, who may not be able to meet their daily needs. So please check out their website and support that worthwhile effort. Also, please visit our website at comics.org and our blog page at goldenagecomics.libsyn.com. On the blog page, you can post comments about this podcast or any other podcast that we've done over the last 14 weeks. We certainly welcome your comments, and we welcome your emails at comics@goldenagecomics.org, our email address. We love to get the emails, and we love to respond to your questions about the Golden Age of comic books, so please keep the emails coming, and I encourage you to post comments on the website. That's a great way for everybody to share information about the Golden Age of comics, and in particular, the topics that we've talked about on our shows. If I talk about a topic that you have a passion about, please chime in on the website and leave a comment about it. I know Craig Delitch has left several comments about Golden Age comic book issues that he's an expert on, and I've really enjoyed a lot of the comments that he's made. So I would encourage all of you to do that. If you have a particular expertise in Golden Age comics, or if you just want to talk about Golden Age comics, leave us a comment on the blog page, and I'm sure everyone would enjoy reading that. I would appreciate everybody voting for us at podcastalley.com. We don't get a lot of votes there, but we certainly appreciate every single vote we get. It's a good way for me to track how we're doing out there with the audience that we have, and it certainly shows that we have some support for the Golden Age of Comic Books continuing on, and we certainly want to continue this show and bring you information about the Golden Age of Comic Books that you will find interesting and enjoyable to listen to. So thank you again for joining us this week. We look forward to talking to everybody next week. Go out and find some Golden Age comic book reprints or some Golden Age comic books to read. And I know you will have a wonderful week if you do that. And also, as I mentioned, check out the Robin DC Archives. It was just put out last week by DC. I'm sure your local comic book store can get it for you. It's really neat to be able to read some Golden Age comic book stories that have never been reprinted before. So thanks again for joining us, and we look forward to talking to everybody next time.